T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese beginning our uninterrupted sports conversation zone for nearly an hour. And you get in 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. Johnny Marks and one Ike Reese on this. Turned into not a beautiful day, Ike.
But better than expected, I would say.
It's been windy and cold. By the way, we're in Florida next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's
about that.
Well, here's the thing, right? Mm. It's not my style to complain, as a lot of people will know. But we leave Monday after the show. We're down there Tuesday for the show. Mm-hmm. And then we come home Wednesday after the show. We have to hustle from the show. So really, we don't get, and we're doing interviews and stuff, and we're doing the show. So
yeah.
It's not like the way my wife looks at it is she's like, oh, it must be nice. It's like, must be nice for what? To fly to Florida and back and do two shows and do interviews. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I'm happy to be going down there, but it's not like I'm going on the Cancun junket like you are with the Eagles. You doing that again this year?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
Now, that's vacation time.
When's that?
That's the first week of April.
Damn. So it's coming up.
Not the first week. I'm sorry. Second week of April.
Oh, so you have about a month to go for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
8th through the 12th.
Love Cancun. Nice blue, beautiful water.
Yeah, I can't wait.
On the Yucatan Peninsula. Take the whole crew down with you?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
All right.
Family's not letting you go without them.
Well, yeah.
Bunch of crumb snatchers.
All right, so check it out. Nigel Bradham signs with the Eagles. We knew that. He had his introductory press conference today. So congratulations to Nigel. We don't know the guaranteed money. Some people speculating now Michael Kendricks will be traded or cut. That would save the Eagles $4.4 million. Brent Celek and LeGarrette Blount visiting the Lions today. There, I agree. Seems like that LeGarrette's going to be gone. And I know he's told people that he'd love to come back here and he loves Philadelphia and loves this coaching staff and everything else. But listen, real life is a real life. And if the Eagles would, I think the Eagles would take a look at him coming back if he came back to him and say, hey, listen, you know, maybe, what did he make last year? Three?
Who?
LeGarrette.
I want to say less than that.
Two?
Yeah. Maybe two and some change. I know he has some incentives in there he could reach, but obviously by splitting time the way that he was, be surprised if he reached any of those incentives.
Yeah, 1.25, actually.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't have much of a market. I know the Giants were also interested in him last year. He picked the Eagles over the Giants. Wise move by LeGarrette, by the way. Yeah, so it was the $900,000 base salary, total cash, 1.25. Mm-hmm. So he'll probably get a reasonable raise from that. But if he comes back, I would think the Eagles would bring him back at that same number. That's a bargain.
Oh, yeah. The key for him is that he's going to try to find as much money as he can as quickly as he can. I don't think he wants to wait around like he did last year. And listen, no. He was coming off of 18 touchdowns in a Super Bowl championship and still didn't get signed.
That's all he could find.
Yeah, and still couldn't find anything. And I think part of it was he and his agent set his price way too high early in free agency. Market dried up. Draft came and went. Now you're scrambling to get on the best team, find the best situation that you can. So I would imagine he wants to find a team before that draft, because you wait until after that draft. Now teams have had a chance to select players.
Teams don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so wherever you may go, it's going to be certainly on a one-year deal for as little as possible at that time. So he's going to try to find a place as quickly as possible this time around.
What do you think, LeGarrette? He's been in the league 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Nine seasons been in the league. 2010 was his rookie year. What do you think he's made? This is unbelievable.
What, combined?
Combined.
In those 9 years?
Total cash.
Total cash. Let's say $12
million. Not even eight.
Not even $8 million.
Most money he's made in 1 year was $1.85 with the Steelers.
Yeah.
He made, and then, because then remember what happened was, well, actually, that's not true, because he made, because then they cut him, and then he made another almost $300,000 with the Patriots. But you get what I'm saying here.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots 2015, he made under $1 million. Then he made $1.5 million. That was with incentives in 2016, and then he had to settle for $1.25 million after that.
Yeah, last year was supposed to be his big cash in year. I mean, 18 touchdowns and a Super Bowl title.
You think that someone would want to give him $2 million a year
and over 1,000 yards?
So he's going to take a contract here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going
to be looking to find the best he can, and he's going to sign it as soon as he can.
Which isn't going to be, he's not going to be making shady money or anything close to it.
He'll be lucky to get 2.5.
Yeah, you're right.
2.5 or 3.
Two and a half or three here?
No.
2 here?
I don't even think they would give him 2 here.
You think they're interested at all?
I think they wouldn't mind bringing him back for the same price.
Same
if
price.
They could. Yeah.
Same price.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you do at running back? We talked about this earlier. You have Ajayi who kind of takes on that blunt role. You know, you have Clement who really opened some eyes last year. Looked great.
I would bring in Adrian Peterson.
Come on, man.
What?
You want that Ike juice?
No.
Adrian Peterson.
Yes. Why not?
Because he still thinks he's Adrian Peterson of 2010 because he's going to get mad when he doesn't get carries. He's not a good receiver out of the backfield. No, I want nothing to do with him.
We said that about all three of the backs that we had on this team last year.
That's true.
They weren't good receivers out of the backfield.
Clement couldn't do it.
If I can get him for the same type of deal I just got LeGarrette Blount for, he's not my starting tailback. He's the complimentary back.
Is he okay with that?
Well, I mean, that's what he's going to have to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's not. He's made his money. Yeah. He's not getting more than $1.5 million, $2 million.
No, he's not getting any money right now. He's got to decide whether or not it's worth him playing football anymore. All I'm doing is looking at another big guy to give the ball to that can run between the tackles. And that's what Adrian Peterson is. Now, if he doesn't want to come for the price tag that you want to have him come for and have him play the role that you want him to play, which is basically being a complimentary back or like an insurance policy, because you got to remember, Jay Ajayi still has the knee thing.
Which, by the way, is going to be a factor probably every year he plays in the NFL.
Right. So you know, listen, me signing Adrian Peterson isn't saying I'm getting Adrian Peterson from 2-3 years ago. This is me saying if I'm going to bring in a veteran back that can run between the tackles and get tough yards, and he's just going to play in a reduced role, I mean, if I look at the backs that are out there, and the price that you're going to pay, what are you paying? Like, you pay for what you get. So you're not getting some young guy that's going to come in here with Jay Ajayi.
I'm not,
if I'm bringing back 34-year-old Darren Sproles.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Darren Sproles, first of all, is a freak, right? What he does and what he brings to the table isn't.
It's still a small role in what you do.
Agreed.
Either way you look at it, it's a role player.
6-7 touches a game.
Yep.
But he's also a return guy.
Yep.
I would bring him back certainly before Adrian Peterson, but I want him back. I do. I get the feeling. I was on the parade float with him and just kept chatting with him a little bit. He wants to play again, and I know it wants. Of course, he wants it to be here, but I want him back because I think that he offers a dynamic, especially in the passing game, the short passing game that really nobody else offers that's out there, and at a cheap price.
He used to offer that.
Okay.
We don't know if he can still do that at 34 years old.
Well, we don't know if Adrian Peterson can do anything at this point.
I'm not going to argue over Adrian Peterson. It was just a name I threw out there.
So you were saying get another guy in here that can run the ball.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not going to sit here and beat the drum over Adrian Peterson.
Well, I'd take Blount over Peterson.
Okay.
But
you're not getting Blount back here unless you're paying a certain price for him.
If it came back that Blount was back on a 1-year contract for $2 million, I'd be happy.
Yeah, everybody should be.
I'd be happy. He's a good player.
Yeah.
I'm a big LeGarrette Blount fan.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. But what do you think? 888-729-9494. I also want to bring this up. And we talked about the greatest play in Philly sports history. But I want to give Ben, since the producers are now stars on the air here, I want to give Ben 60 seconds here to explain what he was talking about. Ike and I both had the same reaction. Like, hey, listen, they just won the Super Bowl. The last thing I'm going to do is start coming on the air crying and whining about what Howie Roseman's doing. However, Ben doesn't understand why the Eagles are going all in 2018. Ben Livingston, our producer. So, Ben, state your case.
So here's my problem. They're pushing all these cap numbers back by restructuring deals. Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson. And what's going to happen is next year, 2019, 2020, into the future, they're going to have major, major cap hell. And you would think, well, deal with it then. The problem is you're going to have to pay Carson Wentz probably starting next year. And Carson Wentz is going to make $25, $30 million, which is $20 to $25 more than he's making now. So they're going to make their cap situation worse for next year, worse for 2020, when they're desperately going to need the money. They're basically putting all their chips into winning again this year.
They're going for it this year, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. To me, what I would rather have him do, rather than go win now, is to be a little more patient. Say, all right, we won a Super Bowl. Instead of going nuts trying to win again next year, let's be slow. Let's see what the Packers do. Don't restructure deals. Don't go too crazy trying to win now. Take the fact that we won a Super Bowl, be happy, and build a team that'll give us a shot every year. Because I'm telling you, this happened to the Steelers.
So you want to rebuild already after winning a Super Bowl?
I'm not saying
rebuild.
I'm just saying don't go out of your way to try to push all the money into future years and make this year your only shot.
Right.
I don't want to be the Broncos, win twice, and then not win again for 20 years. I want to be the Packers, who have only won once, but have had a shot every year, and have never had a year where it's like, holy crap, we have 10 bad contracts on the books. We're not going to be able to build a good team. Notice how the Packers are a top five contender every year.
No,
Rodgers is healthy. Yes, they are. Every year that Rodgers is healthy, they make the playoffs.
Because of Rodgers, not because of what the front office. The front office sucks for the Packers.
Right, but this is the point. The front office does suck, but they've been able to get out of their mistakes because they don't push all these contracts back. That's why they're good every year.
I would make the argument that the Packers, by not being aggressive in free agency, have wasted Aaron Rodgers for the last four or five years.
But this is what happened to the Seahawks.
And they're changing it now. They're changing their philosophy in Green Bay.
They realize that they just got to the front office. So Ben, what you're saying is, and actually, it's an interesting point.
I don't completely disagree with you.
Yeah, I guess I don't either.
But I do understand the Eagles saying, we're in a window right now. We don't know how long the window's going to stay open. We can't take it for granted that we'll get back to the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years down the road. We had an opportunity to go back and repeat. But here's where I agree with Ben at, and this is why I'm not overly concerned. I think Howie, without me having firsthand knowledge of the details of some of these contracts and how they're going to work and fit into the salary cap as you move forward, as we're all worried about when Carson is ready to sign his extension,
right,
that's going to be a lot of money. I don't know what these other contracts are going to look like at that point when they get ready to do that. So I'm not going to be overly concerned that we're signing guys without having the future in mind at the same time.
Well,
like he's trying to say, don't put all your chips in next year's basket without thinking about 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Here's what I think they're doing. I think that they're trying to win again in 2 or 3 years, and if then it doesn't happen and they're in real salary cap hell, they'll have a year where they maybe have to retool, and
right,
they'll cut guys, and they'll take the cap losses, and then they'll go for it again. As long as you have Carson Wentz, you can't be that far away from winning something.
I agree.
But, I mean, I look at Howie. He surprised me a little bit in that they really are going for it again in 2018. You know, why the hell not?
And here's the other thing. I know I agree with you, and this is why they have to do it, because these windows you can't take for granted. And think about what the Eagles did last year. Other than signing Alshon Jeffrey for the one-year deal, and that was a very reasonable deal at the time, like the Eagles, even though they did it with some free agents and some trades, they didn't go out there trying to sign these high-priced guys thinking they're going to get a lightning-in-a-bottle championship. I don't think they were expecting to win a championship last year. I think they were trying to improve upon what they were in 2016. Certainly give Carson Wentz some help on the offensive side of the ball. Like what they did defensively, other than bringing in Tim Jernigan, like Chris Long was a nothing signing at the time. That didn't say they're trying to win a championship.
Patrick Robinson?
Yeah, Patrick Robinson was a what the hell are you doing?
LeGarrette Blount
signing. Like these signings weren't.
Blount was there because you needed a guy.
And it happened in June.
Yeah, it happened late.
So, you know, that was, oh, okay. Here was my exact reaction when we signed LeGarrette Blount. Whew. We don't have to go into training camp with Wendell Smallwood and this kid, Corey Clement, out of Wisconsin, is an undrafted guy. And Darren Sproles. That was our running back trio after the draft.
Yep.
Before we didn't have Jay Ajayi. We didn't even know what Corey Clement was at the time. So we were looking at Pumphrey, Sproles, and Smallwood.
Well, after they
our running back.
After they didn't get Dalvin Cook when the Vikings
right.
jumped him,
mm-hmm.
I remember my reaction was like, well, they don't have a running back now.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
Go get Adrian Peterson.
Ended up working out well. but think about this. Howie did a great job with a lot of these under-the-radar signings. A lot of it's luck, too. I mean,
Dude, that was
Patrick Robinson?
Luck. complete luck. Yeah. He was a fill guy. He was a fill-in guy. They didn't think Patrick Robinson would play as well as he did this year.
Of course not.
They still went out and made moves for Ron Darby in training camp. So that lets you know, at this point last year, even into June, this team was far from being completed. That's what makes what they did last year so amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
That's what makes it so amazing. We can look back on it now and act like this was some sort of stroke of genius and a plan came together the way we all thought it was going to come together. No, it did not. No, it exceeded everyone's expectations.
Got to be lucky to win a championship too, Ike.
And here's the funny thing. When we say you got to have some balls bounce your way and you got to have luck, they actually did it while having a string of bad luck. I mean, look at the amount of bad luck they had.
They lost all their players.
They lost the damn starting quarterback.
a Hall of Fame left tackle.
Hall of Fame left tackle, starting middle linebacker, starting quarterback.
Sproles.
Your kicker, your most explosive offensive weapon coming into the season, and Darren Sproles. Are you kidding me? And they still won the Super Bowl.
They win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles outdoing Tom Brady.
It's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
All
man.
Right. So that happened, but they're
I don't know if there's a blueprint to the way the Eagles won the Super Bowl this past year. Yeah. You can't write that
up. You know what the blueprint is? Who the hell knows how you win?
You can't go back and duplicate that again.
We thought we had it figured out. Let's go to Nick. Let's talk about this. 888-729-9494. I'm gonna draw a parallel to the Phillies and what they did to what the Eagles are trying to do right now. What's up, Nick?
Hey, listen, after I'm done with my Ben Livingston point, if you're not pissed off at me, if I can get 12 seconds to defend Levi. But
okay.
Anyway, this is what Ben doesn't understand. The NFL forces, the NFL is a league where every year they force parity amongst the league in a couple ways. We always see like, oh, the worst teams play the softer schedule the next year. That's one way. Another way, of course, is the draft. The worse you are, the higher you are usually drafted unless you trade away all your draft picks. And the other way the NFL does it is they force teams to build these large contracts and then at the end of the year to cut players because they're over the cap, which puts more talent back in the market, which allows bad teams with better salary caps to sign more talent. So you can never say, oh, I want to play for 5 years from now, because it's impossible to get players. And if you draft players, if in 2 years they play really well, the third year, you're already thinking about this guy's got to get a big contract like Fletcher Cox.
Right.
So you're always expanding your payroll. And the downside is that if you do draft good players, eventually they're going to get really good money. It doesn't matter if you draft them in the fifth round or first round. If a fifth rounder is the best corner on the market when his contract is up for renewal, then guess what? He's getting the biggest contract. So that's what Ben doesn't realize. Getting back to your Green Bay point, yeah, Aaron is always in it. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time Aaron was in a Super Bowl?
12, right? Yeah,
the only time he was in one.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Aaron's fault that Brandon hurt. Bostic. I mean, that's not – he couldn't control it. They should have won that game.
No, I know. I know, Ben, but the problem is that if you don't – in the NFL, if you don't surround your players with talent, you don't win. Their defense
win.
Stinks. They have the running game.
Yeah.
And that's why Aaron's hurt all the time, Aaron Rodgers, because he tries to do too much – because they don't have enough talent, and usually like week 14 and 15, he's hurt, right? The last couple of years, he's missed 3 games in a row, and he like 2 years in a row, he came back like the very last game of the season or second last game of the season to try to run the table to get into the playoffs.
But here's how he's been hurt in the pocket, Nick, and you know what he's doing? He's trying to hold on to the ball to the very last minute to make a play, and he ends up taking hits that if he just threw the ball away, he's got to learn to protect himself a little bit better.
Right.
What did you have to say about Levi?
Well, another quick point real quick, sorry. And look, the only team that has had this perfect standard is the Tommy, Billy, Belichick franchise. And guess what? The coach this year, Doug Peterson, I wanted him fired. I told everybody I'd give him 16 games this year with a freshman or rookie quarterback. And guess what? He proved to me that he's better than Bill Belichick because he beat him head-to-head 2 weeks off with a lesser quarterback and beat the Super Bowl reigning champion.
Outcoached him. Yeah. Outcoached
him. No doubt.
So if you believe in Wentz, then you got to believe in Dougie P. And in the New England show, as long as you have those two things, you're always going to be in the hunt. Keep building a team. Here's the thing with Levi. Listen, I love him. I think, John, you've always given more. Sometimes we don't like the tone or the way he delivers the message. But at the end of the day, he's a hardcore Eagle fan. He comes across brash. But look, he said for the last 3 years, the Eagles should win now. We kept on saying, why? We got a rookie quarterback. You got to give him another year, Levi. But at the end of the day, he was right. Levi was right. We got to hold these teams because they proved to us that if you have talent and you get the right coaches, then right. you win.
Yeah, so, I know, but that don't mean, Nick, that doesn't mean you have to put him on the air every day. He came in, he did his thing with Trey. We enjoyed that, but he called in Monday. We put him on the air Monday, right? He called in yesterday. I said to Ben, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to talk to Levi about today. I can't just bring on Levi every day. It has to be a good listen. I can't have people tuning out. You know, and sometimes if you overdo it. So he called the midday show today. He's ripping me. And he's tweeting in desperation to you today, Ike.
I didn't even look at my Twitter, man. I didn't even look at
it. You didn't look today? Nah. Did you see it, Ben, when he was tweeting out?
Yeah, it's starting to mute him.
Yeah? Well, he says to Ike, he's like, are you guys, something to the effect of, you guys fooling around with me? This is a joke, what you're doing with the tray. I'm a prank and all this other stuff. I got nothing to do with there being a prank or whatever. I thought it'd be great for him to come in here and him and Trey to do a show. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell's going on, man. All I know is that Levi, you know, I thought we were doing something good by giving you an opportunity. I know he certainly loves calling the shows and wanted to give him a shot at what it feels like hosting a show, you know. There were no promises made. There was nothing guaranteed. There were no guaranteed time slots being handed out or anything of that nature. And I thought it was all done in good fun. Like some of the things you realize that we do, you got to understand being a part of the show is being a part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're being a part of the show. You're part of the entertainment that's going out to hundreds of thousands of people that are listening on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah, you're a character on the show, on the station, and I like that. I find value in Levi, but it doesn't mean he sending me messages calling me Little Napoleon and be ready to rumble, and I have something to talk about on a daily basis, and it's like, that's okay, fine, but I don't have to take your call every day. I don't take everybody's call every day.
It's like having Eagle Shirley on, right?
She doesn't call in every day.
Right, but and Angelo finds a way to make her a part of his show. And she understands that she's not a part of the show.
Yeah, she's not employed by WIP.
Yeah, she doesn't have this expectation of, you know, I should be on X amount of time. I should be able to do this. I should be able to do that. You just gotta kind of embrace when the hosts are willing to have a little back and forth with you and make you a part of this thing. There are a lot of people that would want to be in the position that you are, Levi. And there's some people who don't want to hear you as much as you think they want to hear you.
Yeah, now he's in fantasy land.
They
Levi.
Love the fact that you're an Eagles fan and you're a great representation of being an Eagles fan.
Absolutely.
But that's different than being entitled to airtime on these airwaves.
Yeah.
This is a business. This isn't a romper room, or this isn't a jungle gym. This is big business radio here, man. This is one of the major markets in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't a rinky-dink operation we got going on here.
No. No, it's not. Our show is, but, you know, not the radio station. WIP's not. Our show.
I'm trying to stay serious there for a second, man.
Yeah.
The show is rinky-dink. See, Ben, pick it up. You need to pick up the work, man.
Let's go back to the phones. Ed in Delaware. Hi, Ed. What's up, brother? Hello, Ed.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm glad. Hey, first of all, I wanted to say, hey, wait, good job all season long. Like, you know, when a lot of people didn't think the Eagles were going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, the other guy who's working with said they're not going to be probably 8-8 or
Chris
9-7.
Yep.
They probably won't make it. You know, you always believe that the Eagles were going to be good. And they surpassed everybody's expectations. You know, even mine. I mean, I've been Eagles fan for about 40 years and stuff. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I saw the Super Bowl. I saw that last pass. I saw it. And I said, oh, my God, he dropped it. He didn't get it. We won. Oh, I mean, I was crying. I was so happy. I was crying, man. And, you know, it was a wonderful season, man. You know, I went to the championship game with me and my son. My son, Shay, took me to the game. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was just a great season, man. I hope that we get to do it again. I mean, I mean, like, I want the Eagles to get in there again. I mean, I didn't know it was ever going to happen. Every year I had hope. Every year I was, like, behind the team. And then to be there and witness it, it was like, oh, my God, it really happened. You know, I watched the video, and I got excited all over again. It's just, you know, it's like, to me, it ain't over. It's not over. I mean, we're the champions. The Eagles are the Super Bowl champions. And I really appreciate what you guys have done, like, to keep it going, man. I mean, it's wonderful, man. So, you know, for me and all the other fans and stuff that have been waiting, I really appreciate the station, man. You guys are great.
Well, listen, they gave us a magical ride. And, you know, in typical Philadelphia fashion, it had to be a little bit of a bumpy ride, and it will test your it'll test just how committed you are to this team and whether or not you're willing to stay on board with them, or you're thinking about, you got one foot off the boat, you know, and they gave us some tests late in the year. But I think when it got to the postseason, which we all were hoping for, it was a great run, man. It was just a great run that not a day has gone by that at some portion of the day that I did not think about that postseason run. I mean, I've thought about it every day, dude, literally, and I'm not exaggerating. I have thought about something different from that postseason run every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, when you spot somebody and you go in the wherever and you spot somebody wearing Eagles gear, which, by the way, is everywhere.
Everywhere.
It makes you, it just makes you think about, you think about the
I got
the
my Philly NFC special. I got my NFC championship shirt on today.
You don't see a lot of conference champion stuff right? Going on. I mean, I've had this Eagles shirt on for a couple of years.
Beating Minnesota, that was an awesome game, man.
What would we be doing?
We were still nervous after that Atlanta game.
Oh, wow.
But after that Minnesota game?
No, we're feeling good.
Oh, my God.
We were feeling good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.